The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
You see, Islam teaches us things. For example, it tells us, if you go to the books of Islamic laws, it tells us that when you interact with the opposite gender, let's say you want to talk, you want to have a conversation, it's not haram, right? Islam isn't a religion which tells us that, you know, just you can't have any interaction. But when you interact, right, you have to do so with guidelines, according to standards. You follow the protocol. What's that protocol? Number one is dress code. Have the dress code. Now, if the other party doesn't have the right dress code, at least you maintain your dress code, and then there's special rules about what you need to do. Number two is that when you're conversing, the way that you make your voice sound is important. Don't make your voice sound in a way where now you show that perhaps that, you know, you might be vulnerable and open for something beyond just a type of, you know, professional conversation. Number three is that what you talk about is important as well. Keep it business related. Keep it straight to the point. Keep it about what you need to talk about. Not that it should go from there to like everything else. Of course, pleasantries are okay. You know, being professional and being decent and nice and all, that's fine, right? But don't go and make it into like, you know, the personal story of everything that happened to you over the weekend and your mom and dad and everything else. Number four is that when you're talking, maintain your outer composure, which is called waqar in Arabic, meaning that the way that you are, your body language, be aware of that. And also your inner body language as well too, your iffa, your self-restraint, keep that as well. And finally, when you're conversing and when you're talking, when you're acting, make sure that it doesn't go beyond what's necessary, meaning that whatever you need in order to maintain your relationships, business relationships, family relationships, whatever, societal relationships, that's fine. But keep it at that. Don't let it just be something which is a free-for-all where, you know, I have, you know, all my friends on my social media account. It doesn't matter whether they're guys or girls. Like, I can converse with any of them at any time and it doesn't really matter to me. That's not the Islamic approach. And other guidelines as well that, alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters are aware of. And sometimes, you know, we get questions. We wonder, well, why is it that there's so much emphasis on this? Right? Why is it that this is something that we're asked to focus on? Sometimes it's difficult because we feel like we're swimming upstream with respect to the rest of the society. Things like, you know, keeping, you know, your distance, keeping, you know, things like, you know, not having physical contact, things like, you know, having a certain dress code. Sometimes people say that it's very hard for us. And recently, you know, we have this type of development of a type of attitude, right? Which is an attitude, I want to call it the myth of the autonomous, modest person. Okay, if you remember a few nights ago, we talked about the myth of the decent person, right? So tonight I want to talk about the myth of the autonomous, modest person. What does it mean to be an autonomous, modest person? It's a person who says that I am the one who's going to determine how I'm going to be modest. I have autonomy in this regard. People have struggled for centuries against guidelines imposed on them from religions which tell them what you should do and what you shouldn't do. We've liberated ourselves from those guidelines and now I'm in charge. And if you come to me and tell me that in order to be modest, I have to do this and that, I'll say that I'm in charge of determining that. I'm the best one to tell what's modest and I'm gonna make that call. So we're going to respond to that person. But I just want to make a comment here about culture. It's very important for us to understand. Culture and the predominant way of doing things in the culture, it is often something which can be changed and manipulated by the people who are in power and the people who have access to the tools which can change culture. This is super important for us to understand. I mean, we saw it in the early history of Islam, where our Prophet was able to change the culture of Jahiliyyah, which was filled with all sorts of crimes and indecency, and make it be a society of people who were extremely, you know, moral and decent. And then we saw it go back again during the time of the Umayyads and the Abbasids. We see it in the modern time as well. I'm going to give you a couple of examples that's good for us to reflect upon. If you study the way that people used to dress in our countries, there was a time when modest dress was the norm. It was something that was actually like very much like, you know, the way that people wanted to dress. Parents used to encourage it for their children, and somebody who wasn't dressed according to very specific standards, they were seen as being immodest. And this was the case, generally speaking, until World War II. But what happened in World War II is the military machine, it realized that whatever resources it has, natural resources, cotton, fabric, factories, it needed that in order to maintain its warfare. So the powers that be, what did they do? They started to actually advertise and make a campaign to change the dress code. I saw for myself an advertisement from that time where it had a picture of, in this case, it was a lady who was dressed according to pre-war standards. And then next to it, there was a lady who was dressed according to the way that they wanted to be in the war standards, which was called the era of austerity. We gotta like be careful now. We have to hold back because, after all, our country's at war. Kind of reminds me of like the public service, you know, ads that they had during COVID, where, you know, they had like somebody. It's like, well, now that we're in COVID, you have to do this, right? You have to put a mask on. You have to have, you know, 6 feet distance or whatnot. Now it's very interesting. What's the difference between the two? One of the differences is that in the first picture, pre-war, the lady, the hemline of the skirt is all the way down to the floor. But now, during the wartime, suddenly it's moved up a number of inches. And this is the official government position which is being advertised. This is how you're supposed to dress. Now, you might think that, okay, well, that's a temporary thing that's going to be in place because of austerity, just like, you know, we had to wear masks and now we don't wear masks anymore. Right? But that's not the case. Because people seized on that and they started to promote it. They said that, well, now that women have entered the workforce, it's not feasible for them to be in the workforce and also dress modestly. One of the famous fashion designers says that, you know, after all, you know, this is like serious, I'm serious. This is actually what she said. You know, she says that there'll come a time when the ladies who are going to work, they'll have to run after the bus, right? And if they're wearing the long skirts, they won't be able to run after the bus, so therefore we're going to keep the skirts short. And this is the type of arguments they had. And we see that from then on, you know, those number of inches, for the most part, they didn't return. What is this an example of? It's an example of culture that's engineered. What's another example of culture that's engineered? We're just finishing the month of July. But you'll see that in a number of places, even though the month of June has been termed as Pride Month, the flags of the Pride movement are still up. Right? And you wonder, and many of you who are sitting here, you'll remember that when you were children, this was not the case. There wasn't such a thing of the rainbow flag being used for this movement. There wasn't such a thing that you would see it everywhere. One of the brothers, you know, was saying that he got a call from his workplace. It was in the month of June. And they said that we're going to be having, you know, an online Pride event. And we really want you to be there. So he said, no, it's okay. You know, I'm busy. I have other things going on. It's okay, right? So he says that they actually offered him extra money. They said that please come and just, you know, come and just attend. And if you come, we'll give you an extra bonus. Right? And then he said, no, it's okay. And then he got another call and another call. Right? What's taking place here? The Christians, they're saying that we feel here that there is a type of Christmas that's being created, but now in the month of June, right? With its own rituals. You know, you had a Christmas parade before in downtown in all the cities, and now we have a parade in the downtown in June. right? When it's hot and, you know, things are different. So what's going on? People go to schools and they say that, like, well, you know, sometimes we're forced to even participate in the activities. This is an example of cultural engineering. And if you go and see, like, those who have studied changes in culture and history, they say that one of the most rapid changes that have as ever taken place in the history of human beings has been the move towards widespread acceptance of the LGBTQ movement. We've never seen something like that before. Now, why am I saying this, brothers and sisters? I'm raising awareness of how culture can be changed, it can be tweaked.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Karim Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.